This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Praise the Lord. This evening, let's start. We'll discuss this evening training in faithfulness. Who give us a summary of what we covered? So that those who are not there in the morning can catch up if it's possible. Please, I'd like to draw this table a bit further. Let me not be so far. Who can give us a summary of what we covered in the morning?
In a nutshell, this morning we thought about two things. First, being dedicated to your assigned task, where the Lord has called you to your sphere of ministry, which relates to, and in that realm, Brother taught us about what is an apostle and what is an apostolic ministry, apostolic helpership, and he taught us that him, for example, is an apostolic aide and not an apostle, and that he has been called to help out an apostle who is our brother Zach, who went to be with the Lord in the calling of God on his life, and that each and every one of us, or most of us, who belong to this ministry, are called into this, acting as helpers, and also we're taught about the local church, in which the responsibility has been assigned to the body of elders. And then the church beyond the local church, which can be region, which can be at the level of a city. The ministry, the work of God, beyond the local church, which can be at the level of maybe a city or a state or a nation, in which the leadership is provided through an apostolic leadership. With apostolic helpership, maybe I'm not putting it very well. Yeah, that was how the ministry began with that correction. And then we were taught on good, being good and faithful. That God rewards faithfulness. God doesn't reward performance. God rewards faithfulness, and that it's important to be faithful. And we went through the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ about this master who gave talents to his servants and who went in a country far away and who came back and asked them to give accounts of what they've been entrusted. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Apollinaire, thank you. When you are asked about a summary, you summarize what you heard for yourself. That's the safest way to make a summary. But please tell me, why is it that those who were there... Okay. One should not look at the lethargy. We made a correction in the morning. Brother Calvin introduced me as an apostle. And I told him I'm not an apostle. To be a leader and to be called to leadership doesn't constitute apostleship. Apostleship is one, a gifting from God. And two, it is an office of leadership in God's work beyond a locality. It is an office. Those are technicalities that I don't know. The eldership of a local church exercises Jesus' authority within the affairs of the local church. So the supreme authority of the Lord Jesus in the local church is vested in the body of elders. But in God's wider work, beyond the locality, and where's Apollinaire? The local church has the sphere of the town. So it is, the church is not a building. So the local church has the sphere of a town or of a locality, whether it is a town or a village of a locality. Beyond the sphere of the locality, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, as far as his work is concerned, is vested in the apostolic calling. And those that God associates with him on the basis of gifts and relationship for the carrying out of the work. So I am not an apostle. I am an apostolic helper. Razak received an apostolic gift and a commission from God, and he didn't go around calling himself an apostle. But he received a commission from Christ. And within that commission, many of us were brought by God to bond to him and to find our place through our gifts in the sphere of the work that he had received from God. Each one according to his gifts. And with that calling, I am an apostolic helper. Some of you are apostolic helpers, Apollinaire. Not everybody is an apostolic helper. But within that ministry, each one serves according to and with the gifts that God has given to him. Some are evangelists, some are givers, some are exercise the gift of government. But apostolic helpers are those who are sent by the apostle to duplicate and do the work that he has been given, either in a particular locality or in a particular church. So apostolic helper describes a certain kind of work. It doesn't describe everybody who is committed in the ministry of an apostle. In itself, an apostolic helper is the description of a certain kind of work. In the New Testament, the word missionary does not exist. There are apostles, and they are apostolic helpers. Timothy, Titus, Epaphroditus, Epaphras, and all those are apostolic helpers within the apostleship of Paul. Silas, John Mark, and a number of the others are apostolic helpers in the apostleship under Peter. These are apostolic helpers. They can be sent. When I was sent to Nigeria as a missionary, it doesn't make me an apostle because I have been sent off. I was sent within the apostolic calling of Zach Formum, and that makes me an apostolic helper posted to Nigeria to carry out the same ministry that God has called Brazak to. Does that make it clear? Not everybody sent becomes an apostle because he was sent. So the sending alone doesn't constitute apostleship. So apostles are trained, raised, sent by the Lord with a distinct commission. And God raises along with them gifted young men or gifted old men as apostolic helpers. Titus was sent to Corinth to put order in the churches, and later on sent to Crete to put order in the 100 churches that had been planted on that island after Paul had been released from the first imprisonment in Rome. Later on, Trophimus, Tychicus, and a number of the others were sent, Antiochus left from Crete and went to Dalmatia, which is in Lower Yugoslavia, and carried out a work by the time Paul was arraigned in Rome and killed. So as an apostolic helper, he was sent by Paul on a number of missions and carried them out. And where Timothy was, Timorous, in Corinth, and full of fear, because the Corinthians were so full of pseudo-knowledge and arrogance, where Timothy could not handle the issues, not because of immaturity, but because of a temperamental shyness, God sent the stern-faced Titus to put order there. So Titus landed in Corinth, and all the big talkers and gifted men, they were all trembling and quaking with fear. He didn't come like Timothy, full of gentleness. He came with a stern face, and there was discipline in the churches. Glory be to God. So these were all apostolic helpers. Their real posting was to the man, was to the apostle. They went from him and to the places where they were sent to carry out an assignment. And they came back to him to report and to be accountable. They were apostolic helpers. I will advise you go to do some Bible study because you are a missionary. And you need to get it clear before your head gets swept off by all sorts of flattering teaching. Not every missionary in the New Testament is a missionary. He is an apostle. The fact that they say apostle means a sent one doesn't constitute everybody sent into an apostle. The commission of Timothy did not constitute apostleship. And the commission of Titus did not constitute apostleship. But they were serving within an apostolic ministry. So they are apostolic helpers. They help carry out the apostolic ministry, but they were not apostles. They were to Paul what the 72 missionaries, national missionaries, were to the Lord Jesus. The Lord had the 12 apostles whom he sent out to preach, and later on he raised 72 others. They were not as mature, nor had they received the same impartation as the previous 12. But they were sent to different villages where Jesus himself was still to come. They were asked to go and do a job where Jesus would come round and supervise. So their work was preliminary and preparatory to the coming of the Lord Jesus. So a younger man who is not fully qualified can be sent to carry out a ministry like Samuel under the tutorship and the mentorship of an older man. The Lord Jesus did it with the 72, and Paul did it with the younger people. He doesn't give them the qualifications of an elder, of a bishop, of an apostle, but he makes them serve within an apostolic ministry. Is that much clear? So I'm not an apostle. That's a correction. I have received no new commission from the Lord Jesus. While Brazak was alive, I knew myself to be an apostolic helper, and it has not changed. And the calling of leadership, I consider myself an execution leader, not a pioneering leader. I'm executing a vision that has been received by God, from God, through Brazak. So consider me an execution leader. Is that much clear? Because you should know what your assigned task is, and you should give yourself faithfully to the accomplishment of your assigned task. That was a correction. Uh, I told Brother Calvin why I was making the correction. I come from a nation in Nigeria where everybody gets up and gives himself pompous titles. And they are not only apostles now in Nigeria, they are supreme apostles. And there are all kinds of gradations. We are getting into higher echelons. I think the name apostle does not suffice anymore. There are new adjectives to establish the great apostleship. One day I was talking to a supreme apostle, and I was very amused, in Nigeria. So I am not an apostle. I also made one correction. Whenever God raises the apostles of the Lamb, the 12 apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they were each hand-picked and called by the Lord Jesus. But apostleship does not constitute independence. And though each one was called as an apostle, they all teamed up under the leadership of Peter to carry out a common ministry under Peter's leadership. He did not make Peter the apostle and the others non-apostles. They were all apostles that constituted an apostolic team under the leadership of Peter to carry out a given mission by the Lord Jesus. Because many people understand apostleship as the commission to go and start something on your own. It is not. Barnabas had an apostolic ministry, Paul had an apostolic ministry, and they teamed up. So independence is not the honors of apostleship. So to be called an apostle does not mean you are going to invent some new name and start your thing all over. So it is not because I am a non-apostle that I am not starting something new. It's because I'm an apostolic helper. Even if I was an apostle, and even if God had raised other apostles, the scriptures say one shall chase 1,000, and two shall chase 10,000. Where our independence is subordinated, the kingdom benefits become geometric. So to be an apostle does not necessarily mean going it all alone. God does not have many starting points. God doesn't have many starting points. Incidentally, and without his own choosing, Brazak became a starting point of a ministry. But it was not by his own choosing. So where ambitious young men want to be a new starting point, and they have dreams of greatness and becoming legends in Christianity, there is nothing of God there, just ambition. Just ambition. Not in the worldly sphere, now in the Christian sphere. That's what I was correcting Brother Calvin about. If I don't do so, very soon, you may be writing me Apostle Theodore, and I'm not an apostle. So don't address me an apostle. Just call me Brother Theodore, and that's enough. But you should expect something from me. The harnessing of all the available resources in our ministry and the channeling of all those resources towards the accomplishment of our common goal. That much you should expect from me, and that is my assigned task. So find your assigned task and be faithful at it. Find your assigned task, know it, and do it. Amen? Good. That's what he was trying to explain. I wish he spoke about himself rather than talking about explaining my own situation. I am not an apostle, but I am an apostolic helper. constituted by circumstances into an execution leader for a vision. Because the giftings and the callings of God are without repentance. God doesn't start something and then break up with it. He gets what he has started done. Some he may use to start it. Some he uses to finish it. As Solomon could say about his father, what God promised with his mouth to my father David, he has accomplished with his hand through me. David became God's mouth as far as the temple was concerned. He brought it into existence from the invisible. But Solomon became God's hand in the doing of it. I am a hand in the working out of a vision received and articulated by Brazak. Is that much clear? Yeah. Some are mouths. I don't hope to be a bigger mouth than Brazak was. I just intend to be a strong hand to get it done. So we should know what we are. And we should be faithful to who we are. And Victor, I told you these things about 17 years ago. So Brother Theodore is not an apostle. Is it clear? Then we said, if you have an assigned task or you don't know your assigned task, you are in big trouble, big time. In the parable of the talents, God shows us three of his servants. To one, 5 talents. To another, 2 talents. To yet another, 1 talent. And he tells the guy with the 5 talents goes and turns into profit the talents he has gotten and brings back to the master 10 talents. The one who got 2 turns over the talents he has received and brings back to the master 4 talents. Between the 5 talents of the one and the 10 talents he brought back, all that the Bible says is he put it to work. It was work. He got the talents, he worked at it, he got multiplied the talents and brought them back to the master, and he was rewarded. The master congratulated him and described him as a good and faithful servant. And that was the premise and the basis on which he decided. He said, rank. You have been faithful in a little, you'll be entrusted with much. Enter into the joy of your master. The one who got 2 talents came back and he had worked up and he brought 4 talents. The final performance wasn't even the initial capital of the one who started off with 5 talents. But the master also congratulated his servant and said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little. You will be entrusted with much. Enter into the joy of your master. He congratulated faithfulness and not just performance. Then the guy who received 1 talent came along and he told his master, I knew you to be a very hard guy. You like percentages of profit that are not commensurate with your investments. So, here's what belongs to you, and let's be quit. And the master told him, you have condemned yourself. You know that I like profit. And that is good knowledge. You should have used that knowledge to make sure that you invest my money with the bankers, so that since you know I like profit, when I come back, I'll get what belongs to me with profit. But knowing that I like profit and not securing that profit for me makes you a wicked servant. And what lazy. So I told the brethren who were here this morning that laziness is theological. Laziness comes down to what men think about God. Laziness is theological. It was because that fellow knew that the master was hard and harsh that he decided to do nothing with what the master had given him to do. Laziness is ideological. It is theological. Those who are lazy, they believe that God has cheated out on them. Life has cheated out on them. And they have refused to take responsibility for what they need to do. They have a grudge against God. And they have hostile thoughts against God or against life or against their parents. They feel cheated by life. And laziness is a response to those who feel cheated by life to life. It is a refusal to take responsibility to make your life pay off for those who have invested into you. And for that thinking, for that ideological aberration, for those wrong thoughts about God, that servant went to hell. Cast out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I was asking the brethren who were gathered here this morning. Some will go to hell because they committed adultery. Some because they stole money. Why do you want to go to hell? Because you were lazy. This fellow went to hell because he was lazy. He went to hell as a believer. He went to hell passing through the church. He received a call from Christ. He had something to do for Christ. And he didn't get it done. And his reward was the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. If you want to go to hell, deserve it. Why go to hell through the church? Because according to that scripture, unfaithful servants who do not serve Christ with that which he has given to them will be cast out into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. These are believers going to hell. Don't go to hell by coming to church. And don't escape church either. Come to church and work very hard so that your life can be profitable to God. Is that clear? Don't escape church. But if you come to church, make sure God gets something out of your life. If you lazy around, lazy people inherit the outer darkness where there is weeping and where there is gnashing of teeth. Let me ask you, do you believe that the lazy servant went to hell? Who believes that that lazy servant went to hell? The Bible says so. Who gave the parable? It wasn't Paul, an apostle. So it had nothing to do with a deficient revelation from God. The giver of that parable was Jesus. I'm quoting Jesus. If you have got a job from God to do, make sure it gets done. If Jesus gave you anything to do, make sure it gets done. He created you, and all the great work of the atonement was to make us normal so that the intention of our creation may be realized. The benefit of the atonement is not the purpose of the gospel. It is worship from us to God. God created us for an intent. sin ruined us. By the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, and all that his atonement provided, in healing, in the breaking of curses, in total redemption, God was bringing us back to the normal, so that as those who have become normal, he may harvest from us the intention of our creation and of our redemption. So the cross is not all about you and I having a great time on earth. It's about you and I becoming normal so that God can get out of us his creatorial intention and his redemptive intention. What he saved you for, what he called you for, what he created you for. Make sure he gets it. Make sure he gets it for your own eternal life. There's a brief parable about the Lord Jesus. He had left Bethany and was going to Jerusalem. And that morning he had not eaten anything, even though he was in the house of friends. Martha didn't wake up early enough to make breakfast. And Jesus would not wait for food when he had a program to keep. So there was Jesus going to Jerusalem, and he was hungry. And he saw a fig tree in a distance, and he went there expecting to get fruit. The Bible is faithful, and it tells us it was not the season for figs. Whether it is time or not, when the Creator comes looking for fruit from your life, make sure he gets it. And because if he doesn't get it, he curses it. Where Jesus has not eaten, no one will ever eat again. And he told that fig tree, may nobody ever eat from you again. When the call of God comes on your life, whether you are ready or not, make sure Jesus gets what he wants out of your life. Because where Jesus has not eaten, no one else will eat. No one else. He will see to it. He will see to it. There are many young fig trees that have been cursed and that are drying up. Because when the master came looking for fruit, they were not ready. Because it was not. So many want to finish school before they can serve God. So many want to get married before they can serve God. So many have these to settle before they can serve God. It may be too late. Give him what he wants when he comes, when he calls you. If not, it could be too late. So we said everyone should know his assigned task, and everyone should labor to be faithful. And faithfulness involves working hard so that your life will be profitable to God and profitable to the one who called you. I'd like three people to pray that this will be understood and believed. I want you to believe and to pray that you will believe. That even after you have become a believer, that you have believed in the blood, in the atoning blood and the atoning sacrifice. That if you are lazy, so that you do not bring forth the fruit of repentance and the fruit of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that you will perish. I want you to pray that you believe it. What I'm saying, there have been many theological controversies over the generations. The normal Calvinists will shoot me dead right where I'm standing. But the word of God says so. It says the useless servant will go out, will be cast out into the outer darkness. Was he a sinner? Eh, brethren? The Bible calls him the servant. Cast out that worthless servant. He went to hell as a servant. Cast out the worthless servant. Some of you are looking at me as if you can bite me. Cast out the worthless servant into the outer darkness. Don't worry. Later on, he says there were ten virgins. And he says five were foolish. And Jesus told the virgins that were foolish, I never knew you. They were virgins. Pictures of the local church all over the world. The church of Jesus. And he told them, I never knew you. They were virgins. Virgins who went to hell. There are 9 references in the book of Matthew to the terrible perils at different stages in our Christian journey. In this particular case, these are people who have been called to serve God, and they are fulfilling the conditions of going to hell by laziness and by theological ideas against God. Pray that you will believe it, and pray that the brethren will believe it.
Lord, I pray that as these things are said to us for the second time today, Lord, it's because you really mean it, and you really want us to grasp it and to, Lord, possess it in the depth of our hearts. Lord, I pray that these things will sink in my heart, and that they will not just stay as theoretical knowledge in my mind, but that I will truly believe it, that it will go from my mind, from my head, from my intellect, to my heart of hearts. That we will believe it, Lord, that this worthless servant went to hell, and yet he was a servant. He was your servant, he was in your church, but he was disqualified, and he perished. Lord, I pray that we will truly believe it, and Lord, act upon it, and walk as people who have really accepted it and really believe it. And Lord, not fool ourselves and not deceive ourselves. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us here tonight will get the revelation of what is being taught right now. I beg you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We thank you, Father, because you care about your work. We bless you, Lord, because you care about your work, oh God. And you don't want that each one of us should do it at our own pace, but at your own pace, oh God. And you don't want us to do it just as if we are forced to do it, but Lord, that we should do it as a team. That we should not do it as isolators, oh God, but as a team, oh God, to accomplish the work that you gave to Brother Zach. Oh, Father, we bless you. Thank you for the explanation. Thank you for the correction that you have taken time, oh Lord, to explain it to us what you mean, oh God, about the church after Brother Zach. Father, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, and we pray that we'll be delivered from laziness, that will be delivered from laziness. Lord, that when you come, whether in seasons or out of seasons, that you find what you want, oh God, and you get it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your word, for your understanding of your word, Lord Jesus, that we are your children, and it's our job, and it's our task, when we give our life to the Lord, to obey you like we would do our earthly fathers. Without question, do the will of God. And I want to thank you, Lord, for just the excitement I have in my life and my heart right now. May it continue. And give me the realization, Lord, and the wisdom to understand that it's a family affair. It's a family thing. We all have a task. We give our life to the Lord. We have work to do. Not just come to church and sit at the church idly without your Bible just sitting there. There's a reason for being here. There's a purpose in this life. And I thank you, Lord, for showing me that purpose. And, Lord, I'm excited about leaving here when I leave here Sunday. I'm excited about that. So I can be a witness to people around my neighborhood and be a true light for Jesus. And stand on the rock and stand tall. Walk with my head up and be proud of who I am. I'm not the man I used to be. I couldn't say this before. I'm not the man I used to be. Because I know that Jesus loves me. I don't beat myself up anymore by my past abuses I went through in life. Because I know in Jesus Christ I am. I know I am somebody. And I am important to the God on high. So in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for coming to my life and saving me. Because I know that I didn't, there have been many instances in my life, I know, between me and God, we know, I shouldn't be here according to the world. It's only God's grace and tender mercy that I'm here. And for God, for that, I exalt you and I lift you up. And from the bottom of my heart and all within me, I am gracious. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this teaching that we've heard in the last few minutes. Lord, we confess that it's things that we've heard before, that fruitless people perish. Lord, that fruitless people, your verdict is that they belong in hell. Lord, your verdict is that though they be in the church for years, if they are fruitless, they'll go to hell. Lord, I pray that you'd open our hearts to believe this word. We'd believe it as surely as if we sin in any other way, that we'll go to hell. Lord, I pray that each one of us, no matter how long we've been Christians or considers ourselves to be believers, that we'll go to hell if we do not bear fruit in the way that the Bible considers bearing fruit. Lord, I pray that you would lay this on our heart, that we wouldn't just discard this as an extreme part of Scripture, or just throw it out. Lord, I pray that we believe it and that we begin to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen.